Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On with us today, I have Commander Abe Thompson, who is a U.S. Navy retired commander and the campus director at SecureSet Academy, cybersecurity skills training school. How do you represent what you guys focus on here?
Our focus is to address the niche there that is entry-level cybersecurity skill sets. And so we, in a boot camp fashion, kind of modeled off sort of an executive MBA in a very intensive 5-month or 3-month program. We take our students through the gambit of skills to get them ready to be cybersecurity engineers, cybersecurity consultants, cybersecurity analysts, and of course penetration testers. So, and our folks are ready to do that. One of the models, obviously the model that's worked for us is of course staying in that entry-level niche, but also ensuring that in the classroom we have of course the critical and important theory piece, but also the practice piece, the doing, you know, at least half the time they're in the classroom.
Okay, so when we have a lot of things in common, both educators, both Navy.
Both sailors.
Yeah,
go
so,
Navy.
Yeah, exactly. All the experiences we've been talking about. So today we have been talking on quite a few podcasts.
Sure.
And Abe is actually going to be a co-host here and taking over some of the new Cyber Frontier shows. So this is by way of an introduction to Commander Abe Thompson.
Well, hello, hello. So,
and welcome and thanks for taking on this role to fill in some of the times whenever I might not have some bandwidth or literally we're trying to get more people
sure.
involved with this community. And we're having so many things going on that we're bringing in some more talent and some exceptional talent to help out here.
Thank you. It's been a fun audition today. Hopefully we're able to serve the community. I love what you're doing, and I obviously you've earned such a massive reputation and following, and that's a testament to your own skill set, your ability to drive the conversation where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And you can match that actually with intellect. I just bring the gift of gab.
The gift of gab. Yeah, we're both kind of like the introvert that looks at somebody else's shoes instead of our own, right? So what is that? It's like the leper with the most fingers, right?
Yeah. We're in that community. That's funny. I always found a unique spot when I worked for General Hayden back at NSA 1,000 years ago. He picked me because I was weird, you know? I was able to communicate and kind of make eye contact. And, you know, it was essential when you're going through change management, any kind of organization like that, to have someone that kind of has a vision and kind of can articulate. And that's not to say that our friends in this industry can't do that. Certainly they can. But that was a skill set that I brought along.
Well, it's definitely something that we both try to teach and try to
Indeed.
Put some humor and some light into
sure.
all this cybersecurity stuff. I remember sitting in a conference at Georgia Tech, and there was probably 40 people in this auditorium that sat 2,000.
Right.
And each one of them had 20 seats in between them.
Oh.
And the speakers were all mono. It sounded like Ferris Bueller, you know, Bueller. The whole presentation was like that. And you see everybody kind of nodding off. But what are we all? We're all these assimilators. We collect information.
Right.
We can't miss an event like that.
Right.
Because there might be something we need to know.
That's right. That's right.
But we all go there to not say anything, right?
And I'm sure some of those folks went home and said, boy, that was the most fantastic conference. You know, but no, we poke fun. But in reality, we have a diverse community. Really, the cybersecurity uh-huh. community is burgeoning with communicators and visionaries and thinkers and analytics. And so we're seeing a growth in the soft skills that come in. And, you know,
I think that's something we're both pioneers in. But, you know, this conference was like 7 or 8 years ago.
Right, right.
I'm talking about this is why we have such a problem.
It was okay not
engaging,
to talk.
Engaging, that's exactly what you're saying, that community of different personalities.
Yeah.
We need all the Myers-Briggs personality types.
Sure, sure.
Not just, you know, the assimilators that want to go find all the information and solve math equations.
Right, right.
Yes, we need them too.
3.1415, you know, yeah. Definitely.
How many digits of pi can you calculate
it's
right?
A contest. You know, but, you know, I just found out too, here at SecureSet, we're obviously not just about educating, but we try to help our folks on the path to, you know, meaningful employment in the cybersecurity industry. And the thing that I continue to hear, which is so intriguing, is that the most delightful and the most magnetic candidates for employment are the ones that bring with them a soft skill. Even the engineers, hardcore cybersecurity engineers, will recognize they need to bring on people with soft skills that can actually communicate. Because what do they have to do? They have to go up to the CEOs and say, hey, spend money in this loss area. Right?
Yeah, definitely. And the money spending. Yeah. Let's come back after our sponsor break and we'll talk about that one in particular.
For sure.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back. We're talking to Commander Abe Thompson at New Cyber Frontier, and we started talking before the break about the soft skills.
Yes.
And training the soft skills, and especially for, you know, those people that have to say, we need to spend money on cybersecurity.
Yeah.
We need to make a budget. We need to explain to people who might not be cyber engineers how and why and get some reasons for it.
Yeah.
And that has been, even for me, some of the most difficult challenges.
Sure.
Because what do we do as engineers as soon as the boss says, oh, well, I'm interested in this. We're like, good, they're on board. Let's give them more details. And they're like, we just inundate them.
Right, their eyes glaze over and they leave us.
And we don't even realize we're doing it. We're just like, oh, you know, I forget. You know, if they're interested, that means back off, put it into a wrapper that they can understand a
Correct.
Little bit more. Not dump on them even more details.
You know,
but I am guilty of that more than anybody out there. So.
Well, it's essential to respect your audience and to know what their needs are in terms of their ability to process and to engage. You know, some folks need to think out loud. Some folks need to do their internal processing. And that's all part of the soft skill of what we often call now in the business world emotional intelligence. You know, and how do we gauge that? How do we not manipulate, but how do we live inside of that realm?
And you know what? There's a different set of those soft skills that have kind of emerged with online interaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the people who have adapted online culture the most are very good at that. But then there's the crossover to kind of real world, we'll say. And that bridge of saying, hey, what are soft skills, not just in the real world, not just in the virtual world, but how do they cross and
sure,
what types
sure.
of things pull those together?
Yeah, and communication is its own discipline. And, you know, that was kind of what I grew up in. You know, I had an interesting path to you know, being a cryptologist and then cybersecurity in general. But it is a discipline that has its own canon, its own sacred texts and methodologies, and you know, it brings in psychology, anthropology, you know, and a number of those different pieces. In addition to, in my realm, in education, and in yours, pedagogy, and those types of things, and that all
now,
relates.
Define
to people.
That word. I'm
yes,
not even sure. I know what that meant.
There's a hard word. So pedagogy is the study of. Learning or learning styles, and you know, the peda would refer more to the child, because that's the typical learning environment.
Gotcha.
I don't know if there's a good word. Some would say andragogy for the grown-ups, but really it's the study of how people learn, and it's the knowledge of how people learn, and that's really important to us in a classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the latest pedagogy in this realm, that realm, what's working, those types of things.
And I work a lot of that with my son, who is now 16, going into the college just here in the next month. And it's been, he's brilliant.
Yes, okay? He is.
But understanding that you're brilliant and being brilliant is two different things.
Certainly.
And so many times there's like a bell curve of learning for younger people especially. That's, you know, we're teaching 90% of the people learn the same way and style.
Right.
And those kids that learn differently, I'm going somewhere with this.
Oh yeah, I know you are.
Those kids that learn differently get the feeling that there's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, they're the best ones in our industry, aren't they?
Sure enough. You know, and unfortunately, they get that impression because there's a dearth or lack of understanding of what differentiated learning is. Mm-hmm. You know, a gifted professor, teacher, will understand what differentiated learning is. And that means that's an instructor that can simultaneously in the same classroom address a myriad of learning styles that mm-hmm. exist. You know, we don't have the luxury of doing one-on-one in every scenario. And so how do you manage the classroom environment? How do you manage the technology? How do you manage and address the content effectively to hit those different learning styles so you don't end up with, if you're familiar with the old Pygmalion effect, mm-hmm. well, someone told me I was dumb, so I guess I am.
Exactly. And you know what? This is kind of a year ago, I pulled my son out of high school, out of 10th grade, to put him in a college readiness program.
Sure.
And kind of, there, I'm going somewhere with this too. Mm-hmm. Bear with me. But I went in excitedly to a parent-teacher conference to talk to his engineering teacher.
Yeah.
And this engineering teacher, as I sat down, committed to telling me how my son was the worst student ever. Hmm. I can't even say anything. My jaw's open. I'm like, after a minute or so of this beratement, I kind of asked, are you sure we got the right kid? Mm-hmm. Was my first thought. And sure enough, she read off the name. And then we kind of went further, and there was even some, you know, I don't know if you guys value education in your household comments. And I'm like, wow. Anyway, finally, I get the gumption to say, well, what kind of projects are you doing? Because he's always been interested in engineering. We've been designing robots and stuff since he was like five. And he writes software at home. And he's always studying the Higgs boson. And he's interested in, you know, all this, you know, particle accelerator mm-hmm. and physics and stuff. She's like, oh, we're making popsicle castles.
Hmm. This is the son that's been accepted to, is that Colorado State University?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I have to do something.
Yeah. And we do. We have to take a hold of the diversity of learners, uh-huh. the diversity of learning styles, and the diversity of content. And you know, bringing it back into our realm, those folks are going to end up, if we reach them, we have created a passionate cybersecurity warrior.
Absolutely.
You know, if we meet them where they are, we can transform their lives, but also our industry, mm-hmm. and knowing the right places for them to shine.
I love to teach the entry-level class.
Sure.
I get, and that's where I get students from business, from mm-hmm. computer science, from IT, from criminal justice, from homeland, you know, from every facet that they come through the university. And I get converts in every class
sure.
to cybersecurity because teach it as a way of, this is an exciting yeah. career. This is something that has prospects. Look at where the community's at. Look at where the entry-level, it's kind of, we're still in the new frontier in
sure,
cyber,
sure.
right? There's pioneers still trying to figure out what to do. There's yeah. thousands of companies that have small products that, you know, eventually there's going to be some consolidation. This market's going to move forward. Yeah. And then with blockchain, now we have a way to map the social to the
yeah.
physical world,
yeah.
to the virtual world.
Absolutely.
And wow, the sky is the limit in this industry over the next couple decades.
Yeah.
And if we can get these young people to see this, get a couple converts in every class,
yeah.
this is my objective.
Yeah. And you just let the word slip there. You used that word community, which is so real. And here I am, the extrovert, intuitive, feeling perceptor who has found community in cybersecurity. And there is, for some of those folks who are of different learning styles and coming from a sort of a different way of thinking, they're finding community here as well. And that just excites me to no end. When I see someone who may have been on the outskirts of another event to be right in the mix, and sometimes the center of attention because their expertise is valued. And I love seeing that come to fruition, and we get to do that here in Colorado Springs.
Yes, definitely like that. Let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. Be right back in a couple minutes.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Commander Abe Thompson, who's going to be taking over the host of some of our shows. And I was joking over the break. I was like, all right, this show's about you. We have to bring it back. Well, so Abe, but give us how you got to be who you are. We talked about the company, the training, the, you know, the community. Let's hear from you.
Sure. Very diverse and eclectic, as one of our other guests has said, path to where I am. So I started right here in good old Colorado Springs. I mean, Pikes Peak out there is actually my mountain. I've claimed it since I was a little kid.
No, sorry.
Unless you've got over 40 years of association with the Springs. But I love my hometown, proud of it.
We'll arm wrestle for it later.
Graduated from high school here at CSES, and then I went off to join the Navy, raised my right hand when I was 17. And I left, and I've been gone for 28 years until this last January, so I've been home a year. I was off in the Navy, and so the path there was pretty diverse. Did some time as an enlisted sailor, and then had the opportunity to get commissioned, and went in as in those days, we called them a cryptologist. We still have cryptologic warfare. That was my field in the Navy, basically signals intelligence, and really the predecessor and the home for cyber, sort of on the Navy side, cybersecurity in particular. And so I grew up, did time on submarines in the Pacific and on surface vessels in electronic warfare. We used to call it command and control warfare, a number of different things, but it all relates back to Sun Tzu's original principles of information operations. And so, with that foundation and with...
And that's what the art of war is.
The art of war, right? Sun Tzu's great book, right? The great Chinese philosopher there. But established that foundation for how we use information, both to protect, defend our information, to destroy the adversary's information, to disrupt the adversary's information, and to really, and it's neat because by the end of my career, they called our larger community the Information Dominance Corps, because it was always about, you know, who has information dominance in the battle space. And so that's where cybersecurity has emerged. And so I grew up in that experience. I worked overseas and in one of our field sites. I worked at the National Security Agency, of course, General Mike Hayden, before he went over to CIA. So I got a great opportunity as a young officer to see some very big things happen in the world of cybersecurity, and a great experience there at Fort Meade. But then I moved from there to the fleet side and did a lot of Navy signals intelligence support and leadership opportunity afloat. And then I had a unique opportunity to go be the enlisted community manager for all of the cyber billets in the Navy. So we're talking upwards of 20 plus thousand billets, whether they're intelligence, information technology, signals intelligence, weather even in some cases.
Billet is a job
in the Navy. That's right. So it's a job rec for those of you who aren't coming from that perspective. But I had to manage the intake, so the recruiting of all of the Navy cyber force, the outtake, so who needs to leave, or you know, the retirement and natural progression, and also those that need to move on. I managed also the training pipeline and a number of those things. So I got this great appreciation for how important training is to the preparation of getting a warrior in there. Now, one of the things that hit, and a lot of you out in our cybersecurity world will recognize the three digits that brought terror to my heart, and those are 8570. So DoD 8570 was the implementation of a far more rigorous approach to training and preparing anyone who's going to touch a network in the Navy. And so what that did is I had a pipeline that was a specified amount of time. All of these new requirements were added at once, and it ballooned the time frame it required to get a cyber warrior ready to go and serve. And so, but through that experience, I learned a lot about what our training pipelines needed to be, what they were, and how to streamline those things.
So I can see that with what you're doing now and the excitement.
Yeah.
You're like chomping at the bit.
Oh, yeah.
To get, and this and that. And
yeah.
That's amazing, especially for somebody we're going to put talking all the time. Right? But I always ask when I hear those backgrounds. Mm-hmm. That was Navy. I was worked on a nuclear power plant, controls, left the Navy, went into more of what they call IoT now, but
sure.
Utility systems,
right.
Smart grid, machine to machine talking to each other. And on my side, I always ask, when I hear all those government things and all this about information and warfare and back and forth, what does that really matter?
Sure.
To the people in town here, the people that are, just going to work every day, maybe not work in a cyber field. It seems like it's almost like once we exit the military, so many people are looking to kind of continue to be in that.
Right.
But it only exists in that realm.
I won't call it a fallacy, but, I think it's lost on a lot of people. And to a certain extent, for the civilians out there to say, why does that stuff really matter? I kind of take a bit of joy in that. And let me tell you why. The fact that you and I were out there doing the things that we were doing and the things that we knew about that our friends in the private sector don't know about, that's a good thing for me. Because I don't know that, I'm glad that they don't have to know about all the threats that are out there to a certain mm-hmm. extent. However, when we get to the private sector in terms of business and business continuity, we do have to think as warriors to a certain extent. We do have to think about the protection of our data and the preservation of our bottom line. And so a lot of those lessons do translate very well and are very important. There is still a challenge in learning how to do that. Mm-hmm. So we come in with our military mindset. I came from being a senior officer into a civilian environment, and I'll talk a little bit more about sort of my unique path there. But we have to lay down some misconceptions, get rid of them, and be ready for the paradigm shift, but at the same time not compromise who we are. Mm-hmm. We don't surrender the leadership and experience that we've had just because people don't understand it. It's a matter of meeting in the middle and communicating that and building the right relationships so the expertise we do bring with us, your nuclear power work and the experience I've had in SIGINT and cyber can be effectively implemented in different sectors and different industry.
Well, you definitely balanced me out because the background I have in design engineering mm-hmm. and software and writing and new applications for cybersecurity
sure.
is not as much in the operational. So we kind
sure.
of, I'm glad to have that balance to what we're, some of the guests here that we're talking to and some of the people you had conversations with today. So today's been a marathon for Commander Thompson here. He's been, we had five so far. We have a couple more this afternoon.
Sure. I love it though. It's wonderful to interact with these people.
Yeah. Just a matter of getting to know somebody on a, let me pick your brain
yeah.
level.
Well, and it again gets to the human element of relationship. I always tell people that I have little to no success if I'm in an environment where I can't make a connection with someone. Mm-hmm. And it's from that relationship, from that connection, that things can blossom and we achieve so much more. And so getting the opportunity to sit where you're sitting and to actually finally touch that spark that lights the passion in that individual is so exciting. And to be a part of that and just to witness that. But talk about the operational experience in the Navy. I did get to do a little bit on board what's called the Sea-Based Battle Lab. And it was an old amphibious ship that was converted to a command ship. But on this command ship, we were an innovator. We actually had a department just for just for innovation. Mm-hmm. There was a space on board that was designed by the Disney Imagineers, which the entire purpose and organization of the room was designed to maximize effective innovation and creative thinking.
You were in a different Navy than I was. There was nothing Disneyland where I was at.
And get that, not only did we have that kind of space, but I had to use an iris scanner to get into the facility. We were already using thumbprint biometrics and things like that to log in, which I loved because I didn't have to remember a password. But so many unique, so that was a great exposure to try things with a bit more freedom there in the Navy. And then eventually I moved into the Special Forces realm and did tactical information operations with alongside the SEALs and implementing that with the rest of Special Operating Forces. And of course, great community, really knew how to take care of each other, but did some great things with cyber capability forward in a tactical sense.
So can you talk about any of that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Moving right along.
So yeah, end that conversation. What you're doing at SecureSet is really amazing. We're a new university, basically, based on cybersecurity from the ground up.
Yeah.
Everybody in cybersecurity wishes they could have that where their whole organization supports cybersecurity,
sure.
More or less being designed around it. So tell us about that progression and what you're seeing here for the future.
Well, it's very exciting. Our founder, president, CEO, Brett Fund, just a great mind. He was a business professor, entrepreneur professor, and a cyber expert at Boulder. One of his co-founders and the director of education, Dr. John Black, directs the ethical hacking department at CU Boulder. So these are two men with great academic chops and credentials that understand how to form effective curriculum in academia, but they've also seen, having spoken with industry, the need to also answer the demand signal that's out there. And the demand signal is that cybersecurity professionals walk out the door not just with credentials and certs, but with the ability to do the job. And so with that background, they recognized, let's focus on the entry level and let's train these folks as cybersecurity generalists who are ready, but raw material, ready to excel in any of the domains in cybersecurity. And that's what's so exciting to watch this happen. And it actually is working as you see these people enter into the various places in industry and succeed.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, to be a part of an organization based around cyber, that's why we reminisce about our days in the CIA and our days in the NSA, because that was the last time we're not in an organization, for the most of us when we get out in the civilian world, that we're looked at as an expense.
How
can we minimize anything you're doing?
Right.
And it is not a good feeling sometimes to be in that situation.
When you think about, look today at the U.S. Cyber Command, he has the same seat at the table as any pilot, any ship driver, anybody else at the table. Cyber has arrived in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, are we in professionals feeling the same level of acceptance as our military counterparts?
And I think we've just got there. Mm-hmm. And I talk about blockchain sometimes. What has been the tie back is, like we just said, the companies look at cybersecurity as its expense.
Yeah.
Until we had a way to say, let's sell cybersecurity, let's have a way to have a transaction that we can see locking something in that is used in the future, that's what blockchain is bringing us.
Sure.
And it's finally reminiscing with, opportunity, business initiative, the future of designing something that has these transactions and ways to monetize cybersecurity built in.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the power of the future of what takes that that pretense of cybersecurity is people saying no to me.
Right.
Everything that I want to do, these people over here in the corner tell me no.
Now they won't be able to argue, right? That resonance is definitely a new revolution.
Yeah, and I think it does what security already in the military, it transitions that principle to the commerce, the people who think money.
Right.
The people who think, here's a way to make something positive in a use case with security, instead of just pay money to keep things from going south.
Bottom line management is sort of a different way of thinking for those of us who've been in private sector government service. and I talk about diversity. Not only have I had that military service, but I don't know if we've spoken about this. Do you know what my first job was when I retired from the Navy?
I don't know if I do.
It's unique. The natural progression for any guy who's been a spy or a cyber guy is I was a pastor, right? So
you did tell me about that one. I didn't know that was right after the Navy.
Yeah, so that was the first job. Kind of stepped out of the mode after, you know, half of my career was op-tempo
war.
Well,
after you saw what you saw, you needed to find something, right? Something.
But it was just a great opportunity to step into a different realm, to take care of people like I'd always done in the Navy as a leader. But then also, at that same time, I was in the arena of education. So I was involved in educating, you know, elementary students all the way up through adults. Served as a college professor, briefly as a high school principal, and then you know, teaching as a pastor. And so it provided this great opportunity to round out that skill set. So here I am with background in cybersecurity, background in education, and then having worked in an industry that's taking care of people. And I really see just the complete confluence of all those things here at SecureSet for me as an opportunity to take care of people and educate them in cybersecurity.
And I see that too. I see that in your passion and everything pulling together.
Sure.
But we're going to be happy to hear from you over time here. Indeed. Lots of shows he's going to be doing. Stand by. You'll probably be working him in every other show here for a while. Like I said, we've recorded some just today, and we have a couple more. But thanks for joining our team here at New Cyber Frontier.
And, my pleasure. Thanks for the privilege and opportunity.
Yeah, looking forward to hear more from you in the future.
All right.
Thanks for joining today.
You're welcome. Bye.
The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.